Hey, everybody. This is Brenna Red from The Last Gang, and you're listening to the Mabel Syndrome Podcast.
It sucks, I still think Mabel, she's the bomb.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to the Mabel Syndrome Podcast. This is season 3, episode 10, and it's been a while. It's been a long time since I have released an episode, so I'm eager to get this one out to you guys, and I apologize for the delay, but life happens, and that's just the way it is. And I have Sarah with me for this episode. Hey, Sarah.
Hi, Kristen. Hi, everyone. Life has been happening, huh?
It has. It never stops.
I'm worn, torn, and tattered, but it's been really good lately.
I know. You've had a, like, yeah, I've actually, for both of us, I feel like things have been really good and really bad. Like,
yeah.
I haven't had a middle ground for a while.
No.
No.
That's the best way to put it. Like, it's, like, the highs have been high, the lows have been low. There really isn't, like, anything, like, mediocre happening lately, but it's been exciting.
Yeah, and the most exciting thing was Rock the Ship.
Oh,
that
God.
Happened a couple weeks ago. That was amazing.
We had the most fun. For anyone who does not know Rock the Ship, it was their 15-year anniversary for Pirates Press Records, and it was in Oakland, California. Some shows were in San Francisco, and Kristen and I, among dozens of other friends from all over the world, got to meet up and have the best time.
It really was. It was such a great time. I wasn't sure if I was going to make it because San Francisco is far from me. I live in Boston and, you know, just to go for the weekend, I have kids and I work and all this stuff. I wasn't sure I was going to make it, but I made it happen. And
you did.
It was so worth it.
God. Again, like, we've recorded an episode talking about this before it happened, and I don't know if that will get released. So I'll just, it might be repetitive.
Probably not.
Okay, we'll just nix that.
Yeah.
So hopefully I'm not repetitive, but if I were to ever create a dream lineup, that was it.
Do you want to go like timeline through the weekend?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay.
So you didn't get there until Friday.
Right.
I flew in from Las Vegas on Thursday. That first night was like, oh my God, I felt all of the feels.
Yeah.
So Lenny Lashley's Gang of One, The Barstool Preachers, Bad Cop, Bad Cop, and CJ Ramone.
Amazing.
Come on.
Yeah.
I mean, anyone who knows me knows, like, Lenny Lashley is one of my favorite voices in guitar and in punk rock. And Gang of One, it came out, and I didn't know what to expect, because the last time I'd seen him, it was just him in an acoustic. The full band came out, and I was just, like, I think 10 times drunk Sarah held her arm up, and I was like, goosebumps. Look at these. Look at these goosebumps. Barstool Preachers, I mean, hands down.
They're so fun.
God. And I saw them, what, 4 or 5 times in that 1 week?
Yeah.
God, they're so good.
They've been across the pond over here quite a bit.
Their energy is so contagious that I don't care what kind of music that you're into, you will like the Barstool Preachers, and it will completely overtake you. Like, you will be madly in love with them once you see them, too. It's just, they're the best people, their music, everything about them, you completely come alive.
I hope people that are listening to this that don't know about the Barstool Preachers, please check them out. They're and we had TJ on a podcast not too long ago, so check that out and listen to them and check out a live show if you can. Like, they're just so fun and amazing.
That episode you did with him too was fantastic. Probably one of my favorites that Mabel has put out.
Yeah, mine too.
And then Bad Cop, Bad Cop. I mean,
always
clearly
awesome.
Clearly we love them.
Yeah.
Same exact thing I just said about Barstool. Like, they're fantastic to listen to, but when you see them, it's just a whole different thing. And then CJ Ramone played after, and again, that blew my mind. So night one, awesome. Yeah. And that was,
I was so bummed to miss
Thursday.
Night one.
Yeah, but you got in time for Friday, so.
Yeah, exactly. So Friday, we decided to do a little, like, touristy action.
God.
And
that was
do Alcatraz.
A great day.
That was fun. And the weather was beautiful.
I mean,
it was kind of chilly, I guess.
It was perfect.
Yeah.
Like, I travel a lot, and I feel like I kept joking. I was like, for me, I'm like, look at us being real adults. Like, we're at a music festival, and yet we're up doing things during the day.
Right.
Like, learning about history and, you know, because normally, like, punk rock bowling, it's like you wake up at 9 in the morning, and you're out until 4 in the morning, and it's go, 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 music, music, music. So it was kind of nice that the days we had free to do what we wanted and mm-hmm. get creative. And, yeah, the weather was gorgeous. We took the ferry out to Alcatraz, did the tour of the prison.
That was a great tour, by the way.
Yeah.
That was one of the best guided tour. It was like headphone guided. I don't know what you call that. But, like, you get a headset and you get a little recording device. And you can pause it whenever you want. So... you can, you know, stop and talk to your friends or do whatever. But it was so well done. Like, it was interesting, and it moved at exactly the right pace, and you could see all the stuff. And I highly recommend that tour for people, anyone visiting out in San Francisco. That was really fun. And we had a whole big group of our punk rock crew.
Oh my God. It filled my little heart with all of the happiness. And then the best part too is from the island. It's like the best fucking view of the city too. Like, you can look back towards where we were staying in Oakland. You look back towards San Francisco. Mm-hmm. You could see the Golden Gate Bridge. For me, that was super special. Like, there might be a lot of punk rock bowlings that I love and they're memorable, but sometimes it's a wash. You're like, what year was that again? Who was there? Mm-hmm. What do we do? I will remember Friday of Rock the Ship very clearly, because it was very unique and special for me. Mm-hmm. We walked down, got some fast food. We all parted ways, got ready and to go out for that night.
Yeah. And it was kind of tough because there were two shows that night, one in San Francisco, one in Oakland. I wanted to be at both. And it was really hard. One, you have the lineup in front of you, you said?
I do. So Friday, God, I'm rereading these again and it's still like, how fun was this?
Yeah.
So it was the Complicators, Grade 2, Harrington Saints, and Darkbuster, or the new Darkbuster, excuse me.
That show was in Oakland.
Yep.
And that club was great.
The Starline.
Oh, Starline,
ballroom.
Yeah.
Yep. I mean, for me, that's like my bread and butter right there. Like, that's such a great show.
Yeah. And I wanted to be with you guys. Like, you know, obviously the music is a huge part of it, but for me, who doesn't have a lot of punk rock women and friends here in Boston, to be able to go out there and see all you girls, like there was a big group of girls that were there that I knew and that I wanted to spend significant time with, Danielle and Sarah being two of the tops, and Kanan was around. I didn't even expect her to be, but she was,
No, she was there. I, like, bombarded her on the ship. Like, I think I even ran to her. I was like, what are you doing here?
Right? I had no idea that she was going to be there. So there were just all these people. And so I was with you at Starline seeing all those shows and seeing all those bands that actually, like, I'm not a huge fan of any of those bands. Just being honest. Like, I love them, but I'm not, you know, they're not my absolute favorites. And I had texted Bad Cop. I'm friends with the Bad Cop girls, and I love that band. And I had texted them earlier in the day, and I was like, listen, I'm not going to make it to your set. Like, I'm going to stick with my girlfriends here at Starline, and it sucks that these two venues are so far from one another. And, you know, but I had to make the difficult decision, and I'm going to stick with my friends. And they were like, boo, you know, like they were bummed, and I really wanted to see them. And the best part was Sarah pulling me aside. I was at the Starline, and
Sarah is very inquisitive.
Drunk Sarah is smart, like brilliant, because she pulls me aside and she's like, what the fuck are you doing? Like, you're here for the music. You're going to see
you
me
flew
all
across
weekend.
The country.
Yeah. She's like, I'm not going anywhere. I'm here all weekend. You wanted to see Bad Cop. Go see Bad Cop. And I was like, oh my God, you're right. And I hopped in an Uber.
I'll call you a Lyft.
I was in an Uber within 5 minutes of that conversation.
Go to them. Be
with
them.
Yeah, you were like, go to them. Go to your people. And sure enough, I did.
Where your head was at, but...
And it was amazing. And Kanan was there, and Raven was there. It was where I was supposed to be.
Yep.
So thank you for doing that. That's like such a good friend thing to do.
As much as I want to see you as often as possible, that weekend, we had all weekend together.
Yeah.
If you fly across the country, for this amazing lineup. And you had missed the night before with them, so it's like, just go.
It was my only chance. It was my only chance to see them. Mm-hmm.
Plus, too, you would have hardly got to talk to me that night because I was running around.
Yeah, that's true.
With my vodka pineapple soda concoctions and, like, you know what? It's maybe for the better. There's pictures from the end of the night of Celine running at me and me trying to catch her. And
Dirty dancing?
Yep. We thought we could dirty dance and I was going to catch her. And immediately she just hits me and we both fall forward and we're both just laying there like knocked over bowling pins.
Oh, no.
So that's what you missed. So happy that you went to see Bad Cop, Bad Cop. And we got to hang out with them the next day on the ship, too, like all day, which was amazing.
Saturday
was
the ship and it started at noon. And do you have the lineup from that?
I do.
Good.
Okay. I need to give a little intro to the ship.
Yeah.
So, in my family, I've got this father that's 6'6", and he's this big man, and yet he cries when he's happy. If something moves him with happiness, he gets emotional.
Yeah.
Yours truly does the same thing. So my friend Matt and I get out of the cab, and we are walking up to the USS Hornet, and they have this huge Cockspur banner. I just got goosebumps. And then, I'm like, oh shit. And I mean, I'm hungover. Like I am seeing stars from Darkbuster the night before. Like I was in very rough shape that day. That was the day of me and the dog.
Yeah.
The picture that you put on Instagram. I love that picture. I'm hungover, but I liven up and I start to get emotional because it's such a cool event.
Mm-hmm.
So we load on to the USS Hornet, which is also run daily as like a museum. So you zigzag up this like rickety, not ladder, but what am I trying to, what's the word I'm going for here?
Stairs? Like just
those aren't really stairs. I don't know. So you load onto the ship and then you walk through the interior of it and you're seeing like old bombers and the old planes and like a bunch of veterans in there like working in the museum greeting you and you're looking around and you're like, oh shit, this is so cool.
Yeah.
You continue to climb up then real stairs to go up to the top deck and you walk out and it's just this massive ship and the stage looked small in comparison to this massive ship.
Yeah.
And like, as you walk down, you're seeing all of these people, our friends from all over the country, all over the world, like everyone just, and then you look at this lineup. So, I mean, it's just like, it was again, a very memorable event. And then you're looking at the perfect weather. You see San Francisco across the bay, but territories opened. Whom I've recently come to learn about, and they're fucking fantastic. The Drowns, which I could watch them play all day.
They're so fun.
They're amazing. I mean, truly amazing. Again, if I like had to choose a band to watch on repeat for a few hours, it'd be them, because they just look so happy, and they have so much fun, and their, again, energy is contagious. Monster Squad, Street Dogs, whom I love, from Boston, Massachusetts. Subhumans and the legendary Cockspur. So, again, that's a hell of a day.
Yeah.
But the best part, too, is, like, in between sets, we're all hanging out, we're walking around, we're doing our silly photos at sunset with the best company.
Yeah, so many girls. Like, we had a real, you know, in punk rock, right, it's like 80-20 or something. Like, it's mostly dudes. But for the whole weekend, it was 80-20 women. For us, I felt like we definitely had our dudes that we were hanging with, but we had a lot of amazing women that we were spending time with, and that was my favorite part. And Pizza Dave, oh my gosh,
Pizza Dave, we got to befriend one of my friend Matt's friends, Pizza Dave, and his name is Pizza Dave because he loves pizza, and he admitted in his 36 or 35 or however old he is years of living on this planet, he has never once had a taco or a burrito,
and we all like. We're flabbergasted by this. We all, like, all of our jaws dropped at the same time. You told us this at In-N-Out Burger, and we were all like, oh, my God, you've never eaten a taco in your life?
And I got like, to experience never. It.
Yeah.
We bought tacos, and we saw him eat his first taco, and it was magical. He didn't love it as much as,
he was a little underwhelmed.
Yeah, it was okay. But I actually get to see him next week in Boston when I come home for the Bruisers.
Oh, cool. Yeah, he was rad. He's fun. But, all the guys that we hung out with were amazing, and the women, and it was just a really awesome day on that ship. It got a little cold. I was like freezing my ass off.
Yeah.
Once the sun went down.
We had like, oh God. I'm sure it probably came from that, but to back it up, like we had what, like 20 at least co-Mables, and then like,
yeah,
several bro Mables, if you will. And like, it was just anytime you took a turn, there was a while I hit a little bit of a social wall. I was a little burnt out and tired that day. So I kind of like, especially during Cocksparrow, I was up front for the first few songs. And then I was just like, I need to not be touching people and be surrounded by people.
Yeah.
So I kept walking around and like watching and listening to them from different areas of the ship, doing my own thing. And it like, I could walk away from a group of people and run into another group of people. And it was just so cool to me that I had like that moment where I grew up in bumfuck New Hampshire. And now here I am in San Francisco, California. And like, I'm just bumping into friends from all over the place that I've met through this little punk rock bubble. And it was just, it was a very good feeling.
Yeah. You know what? One of my favorite things to see that day was, I think it was during Cox Bar, and there was a balcony kind of on the ship, right? And it was TJ and his girlfriend and Hannah and Skippy. And that was, that was my first time meeting Skippy. Skippy is, I don't know, the owner, president, head dude at Pirates Press. And it was my first time meeting him, and he is just a bubble of fun. Like,
oh yeah,
what is that dude?
They're the nicest just, family.
He's just nice and cute and sweet and like adorable. So yep. I absolutely loved meeting him for the first time. That was great because I've met Hannah, TJ. I've met so many members of their family, but I never had the chance to meet Skippy. And so that was awesome. And to see them, the family, right, up on the balcony watching Coxbar, it's Hannah and TJ's dad is Colin and Coxbar. And so it's a family affair. And Hannah and Skippy's kids beautiful. Were there, too.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a family affair, and it was fun. And there was just such great energy, and everyone was happy. And just the fact that he worked his ass off to put that show on, and it's amazing what they did.
God, if I would clear a lot of things out of my annual like lineups.
Mm-hmm.
A few things would get cut to make that happen every year.
Yeah.
Very cool. That was special.
It'll be interesting to see if they do it again next year or if they wait 5 years. In 5 years, it'll be the big 20th. So maybe they'll just save up for that. But so then after the ship, there were some club shows again. So you kind of had your pick of different club shows. I went to Swinging Udders, which was packed. Like, not even fun because it was too packed. It was in a tiny room and everyone wanted to be there. And it was the type, like, I had my little drink and I couldn't drink my drink because the person in front of me was standing so close that I couldn't lift my arm. That's how packed.
Put it in your mouth.
Yeah. I couldn't lift my arm. I couldn't get it up. So that's how packed the club was. And I mean, they're amazing to watch. They're an amazing band, but the venue was a little packed, which was kind of a bummer. And I think you went to something else, right?
So that was called the Elbow Room that you were at, right?
Yeah.
So I had that year.
And there
was
no Elbow Room in the Elbow Room.
That's probably why it's called that. So the one that you went to then was You Cunt, Toy Guitar, and Swingin' Udders.
Yeah.
So I went to Back to the Starline Ballroom, and I got to see Territories for the second time in a day. I really like them. I mean, if you haven't listened to them, anyone listening, like, please go check them out. They put out a new record last year that's really, really great. And then I got to see Barstool Preachers again. And 45 Adapters I got to see for the first time ever. And they were fantastic.
Yeah.
So that night was good. But by now, I was crashing and burning.
Yeah. So the next day, the next morning, I get a text from you that's like, I'm sick. And of course, I just assumed you were hungover, right? And then you're like, no, I'm really fucking sick. And it turns out you had a sinus infection.
So for like 3 weeks leading up to this, I got super sick, and I always get sick, but this has been the healthiest year of my life. And I always play this game where I'm like, are you faking it or are you really sick? And then I wait too long and I'm like, I get really sick. Yeah. So for like 2 to 3 weeks, I thought it was allergies leading up, because I know how sick I get at punk rock bowling every year. Leading up to it, I did like a 3 or 4 day juice detox where I was like making at home fresh carrot, lemon, ginger, apple juice, like trying to give like myself like straight up vitamins.
Yeah.
And I got feeling really great. So we went off to Oakland and I feel good. My friend Lainey that I was with meets me at the airport to fly out of Vegas. And she's like, my throat is so sore. I was like, mother fucker.
Oh no.
So it caught up with me, and probably like being like in a more humid climate, like I live in Las Vegas now, it's dry as fuck, so we're like in cold humidity on the ship all day. It kind of rained for a little bit that day, for a little bit. And then being around other sick people, like it caved in. I woke up like sweating my ass off on Sunday. And like the idea of sharing a hotel room with another human again was killing me. And I was like, I need to go get my own hotel room. So I went on to like my little Hilton Rewards thing, and I was like, what can I find that's discounted tonight? Got this really nice hotel in the downtown area, checked in and just passed out, woke up like sweating my red haired eye off. The pillows were pink. Tried to shower, just ruined their towels. I ruined their bedding. I ruined everything. And I got so sick. And then I missed the Sunday night show, which I've never done in the existence of living. I've never bought tickets for a show and not gone due to like being sick or something. Like I've missed them from like road closures and storms living in Colorado. But that night was Charger and Old Firm Casuals. Yeah. So Matt Freeman and then Lars. But you went.
Yeah, it was great. It was really great. And I had that moment too where I'm like, because it's a tiny club and Matt Freeman's playing. And so Charger's more metal. It's a little bit like Motorhead-ish. They're fucking awesome.
That's amazing.
And the other guys in the band are great too. And everyone knows Matt Freeman's fucking amazing. So, of course, that was great. And then Old Firm Casuals, which is Lars's band, played, and they were great. And those guys had played the night before with the Misfits in New York. Is that right?
Somewhere not.
You weren't. Oh, you weren't there, so you didn't hear the whole story. They were playing Madison Square Garden the night before and took a red eye to get to San Francisco to play this club gig for Rock the Ship. And so both guys, I felt bad. They were clearly like tired and spent, but they mustered up some energy and put on an amazing show. And I had that same moment where I was like, okay, Matt Freeman's standing behind me and I don't have the balls to take a picture of with him, but I really want to. And finally I did. I just was like, this is never, when would this ever happen again? Like you have to seize those opportunities, right?
Mm-hmm. And I agree.
I get so nervous to ask for a picture. I get so awkward. I hate having my picture taken anyways. And then, so on so many levels, it's hard for me to do, but I was like, I have to do it. Like he's standing right there by the merch. No one's talking to him. He's standing there by himself. So I went over and told him how much I love his music, how much I loved Charger, and asked for a picture. And I think I put that up on our social media, the super awkward Kristen picture with
it's cute
Matt Freeman. But God, he's so cool. Like I just love that dude. And so that was an amazing night. And I'm really, really sorry you missed it, but you were legit sick. Like really, really sick.
The next day flying home, I was like, no wonder why babies cry on flights. Like my head. Oh my God, it was the worst flight ever. I landed, I dropped off my suitcase, and I went straight to the doctor's, and I had a temperature of 101.
Oof,
and she looked at me and she's like, yeah, you've got a raging sinus infection that's turned into an ear infection.
Yeah.
And then it's my third one in 12 months that's done that, and I've never had an ear infection in my entire life until this year.
Yeah.
So then they referred me to an ear, nose, and throat specialist, which I still need to set up now, to see what's kind of going on in the back end. She's like, maybe it's a polyp or maybe da-da-da-da-da.
Right.
In reality, I was like, let's be honest. Could it have anything to do with the fact that I broke my nose at Streetlight Manifesto last year? She's like, well, it could. It actually could with the blockage and da-da-da-da-da.
Yeah.
So things aren't moving through clearly with a little bit of pressure. It turns into something worse. I don't know.
Well, so I get a lot of sinus infections because I have a deviated septum. And I think at some point I broke my nose too. I have no idea when. Like, could have been when I was a kid or whatever. But we were laughing because I think we should both get nose jobs and then just sit on the couch and watch like old Sex and the City reruns or something.
I'll fly home and we can go get nose jobs together. Everyone took our group chat a little too seriously. Like, ladies, you don't need nose jobs. And I'm over here like, well, first off, I have a huge nose, so I totally do. But that's not the point. It's just nose surgery.
Right. I think we should tell everyone we wanted to get like J-Lo button noses or something. But actually, it's just it's just a real medical issue.
Do you remember in the movie Clueless how they all had, like, parts of the movie where they all had nose jobs and they had, like, the tape on their face?
Right. Yeah.
Okay. That could be us. We'll have matching nose job tape.
Totally. That'll be cute.
Keeping it fresh.
Yeah. So,
but yeah, that,
it was an amazing weekend.
It was unreal. And I guess, like, the downside of it was nothing was really convenient. So, like, you lifted everywhere during the day. Like, at least at, like, punk rock bowling, like, during the day, everyone's walkable from one another.
I do have to say, though, because I do Uber. I do Lyft, too, but usually I do Uber. So getting home, and they add up. I'm like, a $25 Lyft ride here, a $25 Lyft ride there, a $30 Lyft ride there. I was like, oh, shit, I just spent $300 more than I expected. Just on
next year, it's like herding cats, but next year we really have to just convince everyone, be like, everyone stay in the same hotel.
Right.
Just do it. Cause then during the day, we'll be like, all right, let's all go get breakfast without being like, all right, well, let me find pants and look less haggard and get this $20 Lyft to you.
Right.
But that's that's the only downside. And I mean, being sick sucks, but at least I got a few good days out of it.
You did. You can't control that. You only missed one day. Think of it that way. Like, it could have been way worse. You could have missed the whole Rock the Ship day.
Yeah.
So you actually, fared pretty well given the circumstances.
Yeah. It was just so memorable.
Yeah.
That's it. It was a good one. And
that's awesome.
And I like that we got to go to San Francisco and be tourists too.
Yeah, and you were just telling me that there's a question that you get asked a lot and you wanted to talk about it, and I was like, save it, I want to talk about it on the podcast. So what is the question that you get asked a lot?
So, all right, this is a hot topic and this is not related to music. This is related to me being a single woman.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have kids. I don't want kids. Like, I've always said, like, in the last, like, however many adult years of my life, like, yes, if I met someone that I was in love with and they wanted a kid, okay, like, I like kids enough, I could comply, but I really don't have that baby fever in me,
mm-hmm.
And there's been so many times lately, it comes up in conversations, like, I mean, it rocked the ship, like, oh, like, do you have any kids, da-da-da, I'm like, no, and I shared something on Facebook recently, too, that was, like, one of those memes, that it's okay for you to raise your kids to know that it's okay for them to not want to have kids.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when people keep asking about this, like, it's kind of like shaky ground. Like, what if someone can't have kids?
Yeah.
What if someone doesn't want kids like me? I'm so sick of people following up like, well, you just haven't met the right person yet. Like, right. I beg to differ.
Or it'll kick in. Susan. Like, your clock will kick in and you're going to regret it or whatever.
Yeah.
It's such like, insensitive, I beg to differ, Susan. Ignorant things to say.
Well, yeah. And I mean, at this point, I love all of my friends' children. I love my niece and nephew. I'm great with kids. But there are so many times in my life that I know that I am a short fuse. I get burnt out too easy. I'm pretty selfish. Like, I like to do what I like to do on my terms. And, like, it's just never been something that I've, like, had that desire for. And, like, I was telling you a little bit, like, you know, we listen to the podcast and you and Jessica have families and there's a lot to connect with. Like, we have a lot of listeners that have families and stuff, but mm-hmm. on the same side too, there's a lot of people that exist in this world who don't. And it's like, I wonder if they hear it too. Like, if you don't have kids, someone's like, well, like, when are you having children? Like, even friends that have been in long relationships.
I was just going to say, I wonder if they get even more people who are married who do not have children. They must get it all the time.
Yeah. I am such a firm believer. It's okay to not want kids.
Yeah,
and
of course.
People need to not talk about it because what if someone cannot have children or something and it's a tough subject?
Yeah.
Don't make them have to tell you that.
Right. It's along the same lines as, you know, if someone's eaten a big hamburger, you don't say, oh, are you pregnant or whatever. Just keep the whole pregnancy and kids and women's fertility issue. Like, let's just put that on the list of things not to talk about and not to ask about, right? Like, God. If it's a stranger, like, don't ask about politics, don't ask about religion, and don't ask about fertility because it's none of your fucking business.
And if someone tells you they don't want kids,
who cares?
They don't fucking want kids.
Right.
I'm not being cute. I'm not
Don't put your desires on someone else, right? So I'm someone who absolutely had to have kids. Like I knew from the day I was a little girl that I was going to have kids someday. It was just ingrained in me. I needed to. I had to. But why would I put that on you? Like, who cares? Just because I have it. It's almost like misery loves company. It's like people who have kids, they're like, they just want you to be miserable too.
Now you know me to the core of me as a person. Like, there's very little that offends me. So at the end of the day, it doesn't really offend me.
Right.
But it's happened so many times in the last few months that I have to be like, no, I really don't think I want kids. Now, 5 years from now, if all of a sudden I have a kid or something, you could be like, hey, remember that time? And I can admit, like, if I met someone that I was madly in love with and they wanted a child, like, it's not like I hate kids.
Right, right.
But
you don't have that, like, you don't have to have them.
No.
That's the difference.
Yeah. Some people really, like you said, like, you knew.
Yeah.
For me, like, I've gone through things where I'm like, maybe, like, because I feel like I'm supposed to.
And trust
me. It's okay to not want
kids. You have to want them. Like, you have to want to have them, because it's a lot of work and it sucks a lot of the time. Mm-hmm. And that you have to have that payoff there of, like, this is something I've always wanted. It's worth it. You have to have that it's worth it gene.
Yep.
Because there's a lot of shitty times. So I like people that don't want kids, you know, probably shouldn't have them, because it's a lot of work and it's really hard and it puts a toll on relationships. It puts a toll on a person, you know, a woman, a man, everybody. Like, it's just, it's a really hard thing. So, and more props to you for not buying into the fucking social political norms of, like, no, you're a woman, you have to have a child, and no, this is what you have to do, and this is what religion says and whatever. Like, fuck that. Like, you know what you want, you know what you don't want, you're open to things, but it's not necessarily a calling of yours, and you don't feel this pressure to do it just because that's a societal norm. And I give you credit for that. Like, you know, you've never been a person that's just going to buy into what everyone else does. And I really respect that about you.
And, like, I'm so pro, all of us in life require particular things to feel fulfilled. Mm-hmm. And, like, for those who have families and lives, like, I respect the hell out of that, because I'm sure it's extremely rewarding. You have these beautiful kids that you watch grow in front of you. And, like, it's amazing. Everyone has different things, though, at the end of the day, that make them feel rewarded. You saw me go through last year this shutdown where I was like, all right, well, you're in your 30s, you don't own a house, you're not married, you don't have kids, and I was, like, dead set on buying a house and moving back to New Hampshire. By all means, I would like to own a house someday. Like, I want something that I have control over, mm-hmm. because I'm not going to control when I meet my person. I'm not going to control, I don't know, but at the same time now,
there's no control over.
Yeah. But then you have to stop comparing yourself to other people. Like,
yeah.
I keep joking, but 2019's been my year. Like, I got control of my mental health, which led me getting control of my actual health, and I lost mm-hmm. 40 pounds. I've put back on 10 this past 2 months, but that's besides the point. I got a promotion at work. I have met the most amazing people every year. This keeps happening, but, like, I've seen new places. I've traveled a ton. Like, you and I have got to spend more time with one another. It's been a good year, so I need to stop doing the thing where, like, looking at my age and what I've accomplished, because I've actually accomplished a lot more. Mm-hmm. I just don't have kids, a husband, or a house. But I feel fulfilled, and I finally, like, I came to that conclusion this year. I'm like, it's time to shake those social norms, and everyone has to find their own level of success.
Right.
It's a big thing.
Yeah, it's hard because there are those societal pressures. And a house, a husband, and a kid is, like, something that might make one person happy and not another person. It's a tangible, those are tangible objects that that make some people happy and other people not. So why is it such a no social norm to have those things? I don't know. It just doesn't make sense to me, but...
Whatever. You can look behind me and I don't even have a real plant. I've got a lot of decorative fake plants.
You have a beautiful place that you live right now.
Yeah.
And you have a lot, and, you know, and you travel, and you know, that's you have defined your happiness and what your life looks like. And frankly, I think it looks like how you want it to look.
Yeah. But where I was going is, I can't even keep a plant alive. Who would ever want me to have a kid? I have so many decorative plants from Ross and Home Goods that I'm like, that's good enough.
Yeah, those are nice. Those work.
Like, I'll just be Auntie Sarah, cool Auntie Sarah to everyone else's kid. It's fine.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
Yeah. I want to get to the next segment, which is a Help Me Stacey D. So we have Stacey D record these Help Me Stacey D segments from time to time. And we're kind of on that page of, you know, getting some good insight and advice from an amazing woman. So let's do that. Let's cut to Help Me Stacey D. And thank you, Sarah, for being on this episode. It's been a long time because, you know, life is life. And
life.
I've been going through a lot of stuff and had a big work deadline. And so I haven't been able to put an episode out, but I'm glad to put one out now. And can you think of a song, like, off the top of your head that you would want to end this episode with?
So this one kind of goes back to our conversation about the Pirates Press Rock the Ship. We could do Cocksparrer, Gonna Be All Right.
All right. That goes with our most recent conversation too. Like, it's gonna be all right.
I like it.
Slow your roll, hold your assumptions, like, do your thing. It's gonna be all right. But first, we get some advice from Stacey D, so hang on for that. And as always, please rate and subscribe to us on iTunes. That helps us a lot. Follow us on social media. Tell your friends about us. Here is Help Me Stacey D. Help me Stacey D. All right. So for this segment of the podcast, we have Stacey D again. Hi, Stacey.
What up?
Thank you for joining us.
Of course, this is so fun.
Has anyone mentioned to you, like, anything about the Help Me Stacey D other segments?
Sometimes people reach out and they go, oh my God, I heard you on Mabel Syndrome. It was so good. It was so good. Or Myra. Myra's like, I heard you. Because she's the monitor of all things social media. Like, yeah. She watches everything. She reads everything. She listens to everything. Hi, Myra. I love you.
I always do that too. When I message the band, I'm always like, hey, Myra, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, that's the one.
Yeah,
I just think it's the raddest to even be part of this because I love listening to your advice. I'm like, man, I got to come up with some questions for you. I need help.
Yeah, right? next time. You know what? Just hit me up and let's talk.
Yeah. Well, that's what got me started on this. Not to be redundant, but Stacey, like, I asked her for advice one time, and then another woman asked her for advice, and we were talking about it. Like, doesn't Stacey have the best advice? And so I was like, let's hit her up for more advice.
Yeah, I'm actually thinking about maybe taking some more college courses into counseling or therapy because I'm actually good at it and I enjoy it and I want to talk to large groups of people. For some reason, I feel like I've been given that gift, you know what I mean? Yeah. And so I want to do that.
Well, you know what? I'm really and you do all that work with the Sidewalk Project.
I do, yeah.
Which is amazing. And I don't know if you, I think you know the person in our scene that died recently.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Steve.
Yes. So Steve. Yeah. And so I'm not sure how much of that is public, but I feel this draw to do more for any platforms that we have to talk about mental illness or to talk about issues that we all face. And I just, do you know much about, like, Music Cares or
Punk Pops? I do know that there's a lot of Music Cares is great and they've been around for a very long time and not a very long time, but as far as I know for a while anyways. And it is an organization that musicians helping other musicians and it's fantastic, you know, to be able to have a resource like that, knowing like if I'm really fucked, I could go to them and they would probably help me. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And understand.
And understand because they know that this is, because this is, there's not a lot of us that do what I do in the world. There's not a lot of us that do this mostly for their life, you know, so to be taken care of in some other realms and other ways is really beneficial and helps so much. Yeah. Helps so much.
There's some amazing resources out there now and it's only getting better.
Yeah, it seems like people are connecting in a way now that it's starting. The groundswell is starting of this like kind of movement to be better to each other. And that's exciting. It's really exciting.
Yeah, For sure. Awesome. All right. You ready for this week's question?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay. So this is for both of you, Sarah and Stacey, because Sarah doesn't know this question either. And I'll chime in, I guess, if I have anything to add. So this one is...
My palms are sweating.
Yeah, I know, right? It's like pressure's on. I was wondering if you girls had any insights into long-distance relationships. Is it a good idea to get into something with someone when they don't live in your area? Is it always doomed, or how do you make it work?
Well, I've been in several. It sometimes, like, it's for the personality of the person. Sometimes it works better, mm-hmm. You know, and then that longing to see each other is always a nice thing to have. Keeps things kind of fresh and easy, though there can be tensions. And when and how are we going to finally be together? That kind of thing. I was with my ex-husband, lived in London, and I lived in San Francisco for the first year and a half of our relationship. And I had to go back and forth to London. Oh, such a bummer. But yeah. Because he had the better job, you know what I mean? And mm-hmm. we looked for different ways as to how I was going to be able to move there, to live there. And the only way was to get married. And I'm a risk taker. And I looked at it in a way that, like, this is, I'm also going to be honest, like, I also kind of looked at it as something that was advantageous for my career. He was a radio DJ for the BBC. I was like a musician. I thought, you know what? Fuck it. I'm going to try this out. I like this guy enough, and I'm going to go for it. So I moved to London after a year and a half of back and forth, and we stayed there for another year, and it was awesome. The experience was incredible. So, look. If you find somebody your spirit jives with on this planet, it doesn't fucking matter where you two live. Like, the world is small. As much as I travel, I see how small the world is. It really doesn't matter where you live. I have friends that are married, been married 20, 30 years or something. They both live in different places and stay over at each other's places. You know what I mean? They live in the same city, but, like, I was like, that's rad. Like, you know what I mean? Like, nothing is off the table. Nothing is off the table. Yeah. If two spirits jive, you could fucking make it anywhere in the world.
I agree.
Yeah, and the big thing is, if you're going to be together, love that motherfucker. Love that motherfucker every day, hard. You know what I mean? Like, don't let it go.
I've always had the theory, too, that you're stupid to think that if there's that... First off, I don't think there's one person for everyone. I think that there's a lot of people in this world that you can connect with.
Right, and at certain times of your life, you know what I mean? Like, sometimes for 5 minutes, sometimes for 5 years, sometimes for 50 years. You don't know how long that person's supposed to be with you.
But we'd be so stupid to think that they have to be within, like, a certain radius to where we are. And I've always, like, my entire adult life, I've been in long-distance relationships. The last relationship that I was in that I lived with and or near someone ended in, like, 2008, I think. And ever since then, it's, like, I've always commuted. And, like, you appreciate the time with the other person. You learn how to communicate, like, efficiently, effectively, because that's all you need. That's, like, what you have to do. You have to communicate. Otherwise, you're not going to be in that long-distance relationship.
Or in any relationship. You know, let's be honest. If you don't communicate with the person that you are with, then your shit's going to fall apart.
Right. Don't rule it out from the get-go because of distance, but does there come a point when you say, okay, we're either going, one of us is going to move, or...
Yeah.
I mean, don't...
You kind of get...
I think you'd feel unfulfilled after a while.
Yeah, that's a good thing to say, because all roads do point to trying to be together at some point. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I guess you're going to have to look at, eventually down the line, maybe one of the people are going to have to move to where the other person is, but maybe not. You know what? I buck the system. And I think the reality we've all created is just mediocre. And I think that anybody's reality can be fucking whatever they want it to be and be way better than what we've been taught.
As long as it's working for you and you feel good. Like, I would have a hard time with it. I think because of who I am, like I don't know. I just think I would have a hard time with it. I would eventually want to make that move to be closer to that person, you know, but I also need a lot of alone time. So I don't know. It doesn't have to be defined
so black and white.
Yeah,
right.
Absolutely not.
I mean, those days where you want to be together and you can start blaming some shit on why you're not, you know what I mean, and making it hard for each other, just kind of goes with an unhappy spirit to begin with. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, if you
but
guys
also,
are...
Also, people need to take more risks. Like, why not move to London?
When else
are you going to have that opportunity? Like, you're in love with somebody and you have an opportunity to move to London? Fucking do it.
And there's a lot of things. Go ahead.
I just hope I never fall in love with someone in, like, Wisconsin or, like...
Yeah, I know.
Alabama. You know, I've been lucky that the people I've dated lived in cool places. But, like, especially when I lived in Colorado, a lot of the people that I lived with near in the ski resort had moved there from, like, bumfuck nowhere. And I'm like, oh, thank God that we didn't connect. Like,
yeah, right.
No, I don't want to ever move there.
Yeah. One of the last guys I dated was in Switzerland. And I was like, okay, well, I don't want to. But then everything is subjective because, like, what outweighs what? Like, for me, my band and my existence in California is more important than me trying to make something work with somebody on the other side of the world. There's sometimes, but then a lot of bands, people don't live in the same city and you get together to rehearse your tour a couple weeks before you go or a week before you go, you know? So like, anything is possible, guys, anything is possible. You know what I mean? Like, so I say, take the risk, try to go for it. Make things work. Sometimes make it fun. You know, being in a long distance thing is fun. You get to see different places in the world and it opens up your experience in this life.
Carpe diem.
Yeah, man. That's for sure.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, thank you, Stacey.
Of course. Of course. Anytime, y'all.
She's be yours.